there's another layer of trust, which is more of the standard level of trust, right? Which is honesty and integrity. That is something I hold to high bar.
Building a company from nothing is freaking hard. Us entrepreneurs are expected to deal with unimaginable challenges and somehow keep a cool head through it all. This is The Art of Entrepreneurship, and I'm your host, Jackie Hermes. I grew my company, Excelity, from 0 to 7 figures with no partners and no funding. The Art of Entrepreneurship is a show where we cut through the BS and dig into what it actually takes to start and grow a company. If you give me your time, I promise it won't be wasted. Now let's get to work. Hello and welcome back to The Art of Entrepreneurship. Today's guest is Joan Nguyen. She is a two-time founder and the CEO of Bummo, which is a tech-enabled childcare marketplace that makes parenting and working actually coexist, which is a crazy concept. But what makes her story really cool is that she didn't shut one company down before starting the next. She was actually running two businesses at the same time while parenting until the pandemic forced her into a decision, which I know it forced a lot of us to make tough decisions. So in our conversation today, we get into what it really takes to hold multiple identities at once, which I know is something that a lot of us struggle with, what healthy delusion is, I love that term, and why it's required to keep going day to day as an entrepreneur or a leader, and what it really means to build trust, especially when your product involves something so precious like people's kids. If you have ever built something while juggling something else, which I think most of us probably are, then this episode is for you. All right, let's get to it. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, super happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about your story. I was researching and looking at your background, and you have a really interesting story, including when you started Bummo, you were also running another company at the same time. Is that right?
I was. I was the CEO of my company that I started originally like 20 years ago, and then the CEO of Bummo at the same time. And I think that was like, I think it was a 2-year stretch actually that I was doing both. So it was crazy.
That is a really long time to do that. So when I started Excelity, I was working a full-time job and running just like a little side hustle type thing. So I think similar, like a lot of people have a similar story where they're just doing a lot and trying to get a company off the ground. Talk to me about what that requires from you. Like when you are running two businesses, and I know you during that time or sometime around then started a family as well.
Yeah. So during that time it was crazy because I had two kids. I mean, there were two under two at one point, and then they grew to like, you know, toddlers and preschoolers at the same time. And, you know, I think what was really crazy about that was one, the split brain in multiple ways, right? So Mary Education, my company, was a test prep, tutoring, educational consulting company. Bummo at that time was a co-working space with on-site childcare. And then we, of course, had the pivot during the pandemic. So I felt like my brain was ping-ponging in so many different directions while I had two little kids that were potty training and they were learning how to eat on their own, or they were learning how to go to school online. And it was like a weird, crazy time. And I think what I learned during that time that made it so, it was like so challenging, was you just have to like start whittling things down, and you have to choose and pick a lane, and you focus on that. And so I picked a lane, and that lane was Bummo, and had to eventually just let Mary Education go.
Yeah, I think a lot of times our lives get so full that it's a forcing function of prioritization and of decision-making, right? Like, should I shut down a company? Should I quit my full-time job? Like, I think that that pressure can actually be really positive in hindsight, but it is actual hell when you're in it. I'm not supposed to swear on this podcast, but I feel like this really warrants it. What do you feel like you learned about yourself during that time?
I learned that I had incredible stamina, right? You know, I was working so hard, and I think it was this adrenaline rush of trying to build something new on top of something new, because again, we had the pandemic. So we switched from building the co-working space and launching that to the online school, which we ran for quite some time during the pandemic. So it was just stamina. I thought that at that time, I was like, post two kids, I was like, oh gosh, there's no way I can work the way I used to work. But I realized that when you're in the right environment, when you have the right passion, you have the right goals, and you have the right direction, you turn on the velocity, right? And that's something I always tell my team. It's not about speed, it's about velocity, because velocity is speed and direction at the same time. And so you find your velocity when you have that North Star of what you want to hit and what you want to achieve.
Yeah, I think that in addition, just thinking about shutting down your other business while you were growing Boomo, I think it is really, it's hard for people to know when to quit, right? And when to stop doing something, because quitting and stopping anything, shutting down a business has a negative connotation. Yeah. Or, you know, people are like, uh-oh, failing, you know? And you fail a million times as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. How did you know that it was time to stop?
I think for me, you know, there's external, internal growth patterns, right? So for my team, and this is related, is I tell them Boomo grows and you grow. Our job is to continue to grow as a company so that you don't outgrow us, right? So that your talents, your skills, your knowledge, you can come into this company and say, wow, this company is growing and I'm growing with it. And it's leveling up to where I am. Because if we're not growing at your direction, your velocity, then you've outgrown us as a company and you leave. Similarly, on the team member side, on the company side, my job is to continue to grow the company so that and make sure that we have a team that is aligned with that. So I think here that translates, because when I started Mary Education, my first company, I was 19. I had never started a company before, and I was growing and learning. I was signing leases. I was hiring a team, publishing books, getting students all over the world from, you know, high schools in Hong Kong to Switzerland to New York. And I was growing and learning so much. And then I think I realized starting Boomo that I actually had a ceiling of growth, and I couldn't grow, at least to my knowledge at that time, with the way the business was running. I could not continue to grow. I outgrew the company, right, as a person. And so I think that when you're in that inflection point and you feel like you've outgrown something, it just becomes dead weight. It's like dating somebody who is not leveling up to you. Like, break up. You know, you're not failing the relationship. You are leveling up to the next best thing. And that's how I see it.
I love that comparison, because people have such a hard time doing that, right? Yeah. And like outgrowing a business, a job, a situation, a relationship, those are all very, very real things. Mm-hmm. I watched an interview where you talked about fundraising and where you said you heard a lot of no's, but there's a healthy dose of delusion required to be a founder. Mm-hmm. And that when people said no, it didn't shake your belief in yourself and the company. What does healthy delusion mean? Like, tell me what you mean by that.
Yeah. I mean, so healthy delusion, I mean, there's no, I guess, science to it, right? So I think it's part of it is like trying to will something to existence, or believing that you can will something into existence. That feels delusional. Healthy is like when you will that thing to existence, does it have a space in the world, right? So I can have like I can be delusional and say, I'm going to create a venture-backed business by creating silicone dog bowls, right? I mean, maybe there's a market for that, but the TAM is so small, you know, I'm sure that exists. I'm just making something up on the fly, but it does exist actually, those collapsible ones. But let's say it didn't exist and I wanted to create that. That's delusional, because that's not venture backable and that's not scalable, like at the rate that things are scaling right now. So I think it's a mix of those two things, right? You can be delusional to like will it to exist and believe that you are the person that is going to make that happen. But then the thing that you're going to make happen has to actually be a real thing that's viable, right, in the market. So I think it's those, that matrix, right, that makes it healthy and delusional at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking about this when I was researching and wondering, do you think that every founder needs to have some level of healthy delusion in order to succeed?
100%. Because nobody says this, more people are saying it now, but as a founder, you hit these low, low points where you're running out of money, a team member quit, a big account like backed out, whatever it is, right? And you hit these low moments. There is no normal person who's not a founder or like in this founder mindset. Like it just doesn't make sense. It's like nonsensical for you to continue in that moment. But because you're a founder, because you have this delusion and this idea that you are the one that, and your team that you have recruited, they are the ones that are going to like hoist you out of this cavity, right? And excel into like whatever universe you're catapulting into. You need delusion to believe that you can do that. Because any normal person would give up and say, I'm in this cavity, I'm this hole. Like there's no way I can build a ladder to get out. And so every founder 1000% needs that.
Yeah, it's really hard to recover from stuff like that. And so you need the delusion and a level of resiliency and all of the things that you learn while you're growing a business. But as you were just talking about that, I was thinking about a time that we lost a couple of big clients in one day, like 4 years ago. And it changed the entire way that we operate the business. But that day, I was like writing my LinkedIn post, like, I'm quitting and I'm not doing this anymore. Like, you know, and like, and it's normal to feel like that. And it's also like that level of delusion that helps pull you out of it and helps you keep going. So
totally. And it's coupled with hope, you know, it's delusion and hope at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, y'all, it's shameless plug time. I want to take a quick break to chat with you about Excelity, my full service marketing agency. For the last 12 years, we've been working closely with B2B software and service companies. Now we are expanding and looking for growth stage companies with a bold vision, but maybe lacking the marketing strategy or resources to get there. Or hey, you might have resources that just aren't working out. We definitely see that all the time. At Excelity, our team gets results and we have a ton of fun doing it. I'm sure you can tell that from listening to this podcast. So if you or someone you know is a fit, check us out at excelitymarketing.com or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn.
When you think about your belief system as a founder, like the healthy delusion and anything else that you believe that has kind of kept you going, how do you check that belief system and whether it's still serving you or whether it's something that needs to grow? That's something we've been talking about a lot on this podcast lately, is like the versions of yourself that you have to be throughout the growth of a business.
So I know that there are aspects of being a founder that are really, really hard, which is evolving. And when you're evolving, it's not just your own internal evolution, but you're evolving in the way you interact with other people too. And I think that was a really hard thing for me. Something that I did before was I used to, and I've said this a few times before in other probably interviews that I've had, but, and I think it's really important because I still feel it to be true, is before I had a hard time letting people go because I felt bad. I felt like I was the bad guy. I was a bad person for letting this person go. And over the years, I realized that I'm actually a bad person and a bad founder and a bad coworker for keeping somebody who is not going to grow in the company, right? Mm-hmm. And they probably have the matrix of skill sets and work ethic that can translate well at another company, because different types of team members thrive in different environments and they're like plants, right? And so I think that was really hard for me. And my ability to recognize that faster and earlier and react to that earlier and faster has accelerated over the course of now 20 years. And that has helped, I believe, the person on the receiving end, and that's helped myself and Boomo too, because I used to think about it as in a very almost like a selfish way, because I thought about it in terms of how it made me feel. I mm-hmm. felt like a bad guy. But now I think about it in terms of what is it doing to this person by keeping them here when I know they're not going to grow and they're obviously showing signs? And what is it showing my team, other people who are high performing, high input, high output, highly impactful, that somebody is here who is not in alignment? And what is it showing my investors? What is it doing to the company? So I think about that in a more sort of like macro way.
Yeah. I think there is a lack of growth that someone can experience if it's not a right fit. And sometimes it's just the business has changed in certain ways, or they are going to be better suited for a different kind of company or role. And being clear is kind. And mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. part is something that's really hard to understand when you are like your emotions are in it. So, and we're all mm-hmm. human, right? So, but I do think that you learn to take your emotions out of it more as you grow a company and as you grow as a leader.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about this concept of trust. I think with your company, Boomo isn't just a marketplace, right? You're dealing with kids and mm-hmm. people's kids. I mean, I have three of my own, so I know, you know, like how I feel about getting care for them and stuff like that. I think that everyone says, trust us, right? And like, mm-hmm. there's so many companies online that are like, we're trustworthy because of XYZ. Mm-hmm. It seems like you can't just say that in your business. You mm-hmm. kind of have to, you have to show it, right? Mm-hmm. So like, what are the things that you do to show people that your organization is trustworthy?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were things that we did that were not directly related to that. And I think it came from one is starting the brick and mortar space. We had a, you know, co-working space with on-site childcare and preschool. That location, we did the best job we could. I was there. I was the head of school, actually, and took it really seriously. I took all of my early childhood education classes to qualify as a lead preschool teacher, infant teacher, and director, and then became the head of school. And I worked on the classroom floor. I just knew everything about the business and operated that like as if my children were going there. And I believe that that was a standard that I had set, and the community and our, you know, Boomo community and followers and fans, like everybody knew that, and it was very palpable. Then when we did the online school, which was actually before that, because we launched the co-working space after, we also created this like best in class experience where kids were learning safely online with instructors. So there was like this already sort of like a preface of, okay, everything we do, we're trying to do it to the best of our ability. We understand we have your children, whether it's like teaching them and being responsible for their early learning during a worldwide pandemic, to literally taking care of them, making sure they're fed on time, their diapers are being changed on time, things like that. And then that kind of translated to being in that seat as a parent and as an operator, you know, what we did for Boomo. So the reason why we don't directly work with sitters is because we know that for sitters, they go through typically like a thin commercial background check, which is honestly not updated live. It's updated maybe every few months. We know that at licensed daycare facilities, we can check the licensing numbers, we can get the violations in the records, we can ensure that the teachers not only have a commercial background check, they actually have a live scan background check, which is cleared through the Department of Justice and the FBI, which is a live it's like updated live because it's based on your fingerprint. So that gives us this level of like trust. Also, we have a review system. We have a really great customer service motion where parents feel comfortable telling us like, hey, there was a situation, like I didn't, you know, like how they checked us in and how we were signed in to this location or whatever it is. And we take all that very seriously. And that's something that not only builds trust with our families, but also the providers that join our network, because a lot of them are really like these amazing, they're all amazing, but you know, for some of them, they would not join our network if they didn't feel like it was part of this like vetted experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of founders, when they get started, they think that trust is something you build into a brand or a website. And something I've learned is that trust is really something that's earned over time and sometimes mm-hmm. a long period of time. And that's basically what you're saying is like, there are so many signals that mm-hmm. indicate to someone that they can trust your business and you and whatnot. What do you think this has taught you about being a founder? Like, has everything that you just discussed, does that translate over into like the way that you lead, the way that you coach people?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with trust too, with our team and setting that bar for trust, right? Yeah. And trust here is a little bit different when you're managing a team. The trust is like, I trust you to produce the outcome, yeah. right? And this is the playbook. This is the rubric. This is the metric system that we're using. And that trust means that you follow through and you execute. There's another layer of trust, which is more of the standard level of trust, right? Which is honesty and integrity. That is something I hold to high bar. And even as a parent, you know, I told my daughter this something like this the other day. You know, I told her, I'd rather you be honest with me about a big thing that you did wrong than lying about something small. It was more eloquent than that. So I have to remember the exact phrasing. But that's something that we care about, is like just being transparent, being honest, being truthful. Like if you make a mistake, just own up to it and just say it. And we just, like we always say, let it roll off your back and onward we go, right? So that's implicit in us. And I think as a team, like we really care about that. And that's really important to us, is like having honesty, trust, and trust in each other to execute, trust in each other to ask for help, trust in each other to own up to things. So that's very important.
Yeah. How do you create an environment where people feel okay to be that honest and honestly to make the mistakes mm-hmm. and then say, I did this, I need help, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it may be?
You do it yourself. I say it all the time. Oh God, I messed up. Yeah. Oh, that's on me. Sorry guys. I dropped the ball. Like, so I think that, and then the team keeps me, we always say like we have a circular accountability. So for like, I have team members who keep me accountable. So I tell them like, keep me accountable. If I don't deliver something to you, tell me. Like, Joan, you said you were going to get this to me by Thursday and I haven't seen it yet. And so I think, that's important too, because there are a lot of founders who are, you know, ego is very important, and it's like they can't admit that they did something wrong. They can't admit that they made a wrong call. They can't admit that they made a mistake, or they don't want somebody keeping them accountable because they are the ones keeping other people accountable. How dare you keep me accountable? And you know, for me, it's I'm the first one to say that I dropped the ball in something.
Yeah, modeling is very mm-hmm. very important in yeah. every way. In trust, in how you treat other people, in expectations of the business, especially if you've ever worked in a company where they say something and then not all of the leaders model that, that can be very jarring for people. So I love that answer. Okay, yeah. We are coming to the end of our time. If people that are listening have one major takeaway or one thing that you want them to walk away with from this podcast, what is it?
I think, you know, if you're a founder and you have a vision for building something great, you see all these like exciting, you know, sensational stories out there. It's tough and it's hard. Mm-hmm. There are many days, for every reel that you see me smiling, for every video that you see me talking about how much money I've raised, there are equal amounts, if not more, days that you don't see of me crying, being upset, feeling like a bad parent, feeling like a bad employee, feeling like a bad founder. The days are hard, very, very hard. But if you're building something that is exciting, you're building something that's going to change an industry or change people, keep on going. Don't give up.
Yeah, it's worth it. I love that. Thank you so much, Joan. I really appreciated this conversation. And for everyone listening today, share this with one person that needs to hear this message and the lessons that we discussed today. And I'll talk to you next time.